we started Simu Kufei Hei yesterday, so let's continue Simu Kufei Hei. Yesterday we only did Sif Aleph. So yesterday the only discussion was about the woman saying Tavalti, right? The woman saying that she went to the mikveh, but we didn't really get into the issue of Amasla at all. We never got into the issue of a woman who claims that she falsely claimed that she was Tamei, right? Of a woman who claims now that when she said Tamei, that she was just joking or she was lying. So let's get into that sugya a little bit. So the Gemara says in Ksubis, Daf Chaf Beis. The Gemara is a sugya, the second paragraph of Ksubis, about a masla in general. Can a person touch up what they had said previously, and or not just touch up, but deny it based on circumstances? So the Gemara gives this example. It says, Amra Tameyani, that if a woman says Tameyani, V'chazer Amra Tahorani, she can't just change her mind like that. What do you mean you're Tahori? You just told me 5 minutes ago you're Tameya. So both the Beis Yosef and the Bach quote from Rabbi Yeruchim that B'toch Kedei Dibor she is Me'emenes. Meaning a person is allowed to misspeak. So if it's B'toch Kedei Dibor, when the husband says, everything okay? And she says, it was bad. No, I mean, not really bad. It was, and she corrects herself, B'toch Kedei Dibor, so that for sure she's Me'emenes. This is talking about Li'achar Kedei Dibor, and the Rama quotes this in Siv Gimel, right? The Rama writes, after the Shulchan Aruch says, Rama Levayu Tamei, Nivacha Chamra Torah, Ni Einan Me'emenes, like the Pesach of the Gemara, says Rama, Im Hu La'achar Kedei Dibor. That's only provided that it's Li'achar Kedei Dibor. I don't know of anyone who's cholik on that. I mean, the Yosef and the Bach both quote that from Ben Yeruchim, is Chor La'alach and Ramah. I don't think anyone is cholik on that. In the Tshuvas HaRadvaz, in Chilat Dalit, in Rei Samach Dalit, he says that normally you would say, HaPesha Aser HuHapeh Shehitir, but that is, in this case, only going to work B'toch Kedei Dibor. We're going to have to revisit that a little bit, what the idea of HaPesha Aser HuHapeh Shehitir is, when it applies. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to discuss that. Just something to keep in the back of your mind for now. Comes along the Pesach Tshuva and Sifchat Nedalit in the name of the Chavos Das, and the Pesach Tshuva writes, Ayin Chavos Das Shekasav Dafilu Mavrola Yam Shelu Uyin Lispor Litvo V'yesh Lamigo De Tavalti V'Amra Lo Tavalti Torah Yisi. A great chiddush. The Chavos Das says, look, enough days have passed that she could have gone to the mikvah. At that point, if she would have said Tavalti, she'd be believed. That was Sif Aleph, right? A woman who was Tameya and then says Tavalti is absolutely believed, right? That would have been perfectly fine. But instead of saying Tavalti, she chooses to say, I was never Tameya in the first place. Says the Chavos Das, no good. You have a migo that she could have said Tavalti. It doesn't work. Why not? Why wouldn't it be? Meaning, the Migo seems like a good title.
Because even in the Migo case, the weaker excuse has to be a valid excuse. There's no way she wasn't telling.
What do you mean? What do you mean the weaker excuse has to be a valid excuse?
In the Migo case, you say, you give a reason, it's not the best reason that could have been given, but it's still a working reason.
Meaning, at the end of the day, you're going to have to explain what you meant. You said that you were Tamei. So now you're saying that you're not Tamei. Explain. So, meaning, there is a way to do it, and that's called an Amasla. If you have some valid excuse, some valid reason why you would have said that, because we can't, and what really hovers over this entire simon is the idea that a woman is expected, a religious woman is expected to take this seriously. That this is not a matter of a joke, this is not something that you kid around about, this is something that's serious. So to just be flippant about it, oh yeah, I said that, but, we don't play games over here. And therefore, if she has no explanation of why she said that she was Tamei, then it's not about ne'emanus, it's not only about ne'emanus, you have to explain, why did you say you're Tamei? Because if the whole thing is a joke to you, then you lose your ne'emanus on right now. I don't care how many amigos you have. But if you think that if a woman says Tavalti and you know that she just doesn't care about anything and that she lies all the time about Tavalti, then that's what we learn yesterday. You have a problem. You have a problem if a woman is chashud al, on Nida. So a woman who's just not going to take anything she says seriously, so that's a major kasha on her whole on the whole way she operates. Now, yeah. The migul lahotzi is unique in dine mamonis. It's a migul to change a chazaka. It's different than a migul lahotzi because it's a different kind of chazaka. Meaning, Rosh Hashanah always likes to point out the word chazaka is one of those words that that means it's used in five different contexts. Means five totally different things. So chazaka da hashta, chazaka meikar is different than a cheskas mamon. Cheskas mamon is possession. It's bias of the mamon. But I hear that she was becheskas. Tameya, and now you're saying amigo to take her out of the chazaka. Okay, we'd have to study the laws of amigo a little bit more to figure that out. Okay, now this is based on this whole idea that she's asura. If she changes her mind, is based on seems to be based on shavya nafshchatich diyisura, which is a major sugya. Why is it that Shavya Neshchadim Yisur? Why do we assume that if a person, let's say, I know that something is perfectly kosher, but someone claims that it's not kosher. So for that person, it's taka not kosher, because they claim it's not kosher. Shavya Neshchadim Yisur. So there's a famous lundus in Shavya Neshchadim Yisur, Machlok is about what the mechanism of Shavya Neshchadim Yisur is, right? Why is it that it becomes Asur? Anyone know the basic grade? What's the basic grade in Shavya Neshchadim Yisur? What? Ne'amanus or Neder. Right? That's the basic Hakira. The Ketzos discusses whether it's a din of Ne'amanus or a din of Neder. The major kasha on the idea that it's a Neder is that we have a mechanism to get out of a Neder. What's the mechanism to get out of a Neder? It can be Shoel on the Neder, it can be Mati Neder. And yet we don't find such a mechanism by Shavya Neshchadim Yisur. If it were a din in Ne'amanus, the major kasha is, then why is it only Ne'amanus klape yourself? Why is it Ne'amanus? If we really believe you, then it should be Asr for everybody, right? That's when you're saying that something is Asr, if you really had Ne'amanus, it would be Asr for everybody. That's what the Achronim struggle. There's a comment that the Truma Sakri has, which I think is probably the most compelling explanation of Shavya Nafshkatich Disura. I'm not sure what the Truma Sakri is printed nowadays. It used to be in the back of the Ketzos, but I think of the new fancy Ketzos. I don't think it's back there. Maybe it's on the bottom of the page or something. I don't know. The old, you know, Ketzos is with the little Rashi letters, you know, the old school ones. It was printed in the back. So the comment Truma Sakri has that he thinks Shavya Nafshkatich Disura is not Ne'amanus, it's not Neder. It's simply that if you're a religious Jew, and I'm paraphrasing here obviously a little bit, but if you're a religious Jew and you think something is Asr, you can't do it. Right? Meaning, if you think that what you might be crazy, the whole world might think you're totally off your rocker, and that there's no reason for you to believe that the hamburger in front of you is nevela. But if you believe it's nevela, you better not eat it. Right? Meaning, even if people swear to you up and down that it's kosher, but if you're convinced that it's nevela, then you're not allowed to eat it. So that's generally the basis of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Di Isura. Ne'amanus, Neder, or this third possibility, Truma Sakri, it's neither. It's just that if you believe something to be Aser, then you can't do it. Which it really opens up like a much broader conversation about how far we go with a person's own knowledge against what the Halacha says we have to believe. I mean, for example, let's say two Edim say that something is Chelev, and you know that it's Sheket. Right? You know that it's not chevet, but you're only an eid echad, so you don't have the power to be machish shnei eidim. So you know if this were to go to any rav, shaila were to be asked in any beis din, and there are two eidim on the other side saying it's chevet, and you saying no it's not, right? Who's going to win? It's chevet. Everyone's going to pass and it's chevet. But you know that it's not. You know that it's not chevet. Can you eat it? I mean, to what extent do you have to follow the protocols of psak? And to what extent can you just follow what you know to be true? I mean, it's saying like the Truma Sakri, the idea that if I know that this is not kosher, I can't eat it. I don't care how many people, the Gedolei Ador could be telling me that it's not nevela, but if I know that it's nevela, then I can't eat it. So maybe it works in the other way also, that everyone could be telling me that it's not kosher, and I know that it is kosher, then maybe I can eat it. There's a b'chor shor in Yevamos and Daf Pei Zayin, he makes this dependent on the Machlokas Rambam and Ravid in the 11th parak of the Chushkagos, that issue of whether your own Yediyah can override the Klalei HaPsak. Really, the Chavzdas has a similar, over here in Sifkat and Beis, the Chavzdas has a similar discussion. He says, what if you have a case where the woman is not nemes, right? You have a case where halacha tells us the woman is not nemes. What would be such a case where the halacha tells us she's not nemes? Let's say she said to me, Ani, she doesn't have a master. She's just saying Tahora Ani now. And it's not a good master. She says, we'll see soon, not a good master. What would be an example of not a good master? I was joking. Right? Terrible master. You're not supposed to joke about these things, but she'll take these things seriously. But she says, I was joking. And the husband knows she's telling the truth. Now, that she, Taka was joking. She's such a prankster, right? He knows that she was, that she's telling the truth. Like, yeah, he happens to know. Now, the halacha is he's not allowed to believe her. I mean, the halacha is she's not ne'emenes. But he knows that the Matthias is it. Or let's say, for example, she's huchska nida b'shchenosel, which we'll get to. Right, she's not just told him that she's Tameya, she told the world that she's Tameya by wearing her big day nidus. So now she's saying that she's not really a nida. Right? So the halacha might be, and we'll see the details of the halacha might be that she's a nida. Chavzdas discusses, but if the husband knows that she's not. So betzina, don't flaunt it, don't walk around the street holding hands or whatever until enough time has passed that she could have gone to the mikvah. That's a separate discussion about public displays of affection or whether you should or shouldn't. Machlokas of our two great poskim here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Willigan and Shechter, not to be reminded, other people can mean great poskim, but I'm just saying the two senior poskim here in Yeshiva, Rabbi Willigan and Shechter, whether that's an appropriate thing for, are you familiar with the raid on this? Guys in Yeshiva? No? You don't know the raid on this? Rabbi Willig is not a big fan of any sort of public display of affection, as you might imagine. Rabbi Shechter said, no, they shouldn't do something that's like wildly inappropriate, but to hold hands, that's amazing. And I was with Rav Shechter, we were talking about this, and Shai was there, and Rav Shechter says to Shai, he says, Shai, I always held your mother's hands when we were walking down the street. And Shai's like burying his head. But so that's a discussion, but not beyond that, right? Meaning other... I was at a chasna recently where the chasna had a hug under the chuppah after the chuppah, and Rebbe Zinshechter came running over to me and Rebbe Zinshechter after the chuppah, and she started yelling at both of us. Neither of us did anything wrong. But she said, you better put on your calendar right now, Parshas Chayei Sarah. The Musar Shmuz is about no hugging and kissing under the chuppah. So Rebbe Zinshechter was like, they don't know any better than this. So she's like, well, that's why they're going to know better, because you're going to teach them. So we'll maybe get there. But how do we get to this? Oh, so Betzina, yeah. So a person, can he if he knows that his wife is Tahora, can he act on that? Betzina, when the halacha says she's not Nemenes. Right? That's the... That's Chavis Das. Sometimes the husband knows the wife is telling the truth, but she's Uksganita, so she is not Nemenis. Maybe he can be Boel, her Betzina. So this all relates back to that discussion of Shavi and Afshachati Fatisur. To what extent do we follow what you know to be true, and to what extent do we follow what the halacha says the dinim of Nemanus are? It's almost similar, although I'm just using this as a mashal, it's not an exact parallel, to the Machlokas Rav Shechter and Rav Asher Weiss about following statistics versus basic rules of chazaka and rov. Right? Rav Shechter doesn't drink milk. And not because he's a Chabad Shliach in Siberia, right? He doesn't. Why doesn't he drink milk? Because statistically, when you have a large farm of cows and all of their milk gets mixed in together in one vat, statistically, there are enough trefa cows that it's not batel b'shish. Right? He thinks it's rove, but at least that it's not batel b'shish. There are enough trefa cows that it's not batel b'shish. Rav Asherwai says, yeah, but take each cow, and each cow has a cheskas kashrus, right? So this cow is kosher, you go to the next cow, that one is kosher because it has a cheskas kashrus, and the next one, that one is kosher because we follow the rules of chazaka, and each one has a chazaka. So the fact that the milk of all of them is getting mixed together, and statistically 25% of them are treif, I don't care, because the rules of chazaka tell me that each one is kosher. So you know, it's a similar idea. Do we follow like protocols of halachic, you know, decision making when there's an actual yediyah to the contrary, or do we follow what we know? And then these rules are for when you don't know. This whole siman is for when you're not sure what to do, so the halacha tells you what to do. But when you know, then you know. So that's a fascinating topic. I have not discussed it with any of the great poskim. These shailas, thank God, are not super duper common, but it's an interesting topic to think about.
When we say yediyah, do we mean like definitive knowledge, or do we also mean intuition?
Also a good question. Right, what does chavzdasiv mean? What do you mean you know? How do you know? So it can't mean you know. You're not doing your wife's bedikos. There's no way that you could know. But it means that you feel like you know. Right? That you're very confident about it. Probably. The Gemara that in Ksubas then goes on, and the Gemara tells us that Shmuel asked Rav Shailim, is she believed with an amasla, right? So the Gemara had originally said, a woman says to me, and then she changes her mind, she says, Toharani ain't an amenas. So Shmuel says to Rav, yeah, but what if she gives some sort of good reason? So Rav says, Ne'amenas. Then she'd be believed. Says the Gemara, Tani minei arban zimnin, afilu achilov Shmuel of the benafsha. That he learned it from him 40 times, and still Shmuel couldn't bring himself to follow this psak, which is so interesting. How often did Mrs. Shmuel lie about her tumah status? Meaning, what was going on? Bidinafshe. Does that mean in his rabbanus or in his own personal life? Right. It sounds like he knew that the halacha is like Rav, that, and he learned it from 40 times, but he wouldn't follow it. So this is really a suffix in the Rishonim. What that means, that he learned it from 40 times, but lo av uvta. Does that mean that he paskins against Rav? Or does it mean, no, he understands halacha like Rav, but if it were to ever come up in his life, he couldn't, you know, this would be a chumrah that he would take upon himself. He couldn't follow the amasla. He couldn't listen to the amasla. L'may nafkamina, meaning l'chara, there should be no nafkamina. Because if there's no machlokas, and even Shmuel agrees to Rav, then the halacha is like Rav. And if it's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, then the halacha is like Rav. He'll say Rav b'Yisuri. But the chaps a nafkamina. There is a nafkamina. Nafkamina would be, let's say you have a wife who says Tameyani, and then she comes back and says Tahorani, and she gives a really good excuse as to why she had said Tameyani, a good amasla. Can the husband say, no, I'm not trusting you. I know the halacha is I'm supposed to believe you, but I'm taking this extra chumrah upon myself. You know, a person has to be careful when they take chumrahs. Normally, very often, a chumrah is a kula, also. Most often, my chumrus of the razor always like say that a chumrah in Bein Adam L'Makom is very often a kula in Bein Adam L'Chavera. A person has to know what they're giving to take a certain chumrah. So let's say over here, the husband said, I'm going to be machmir. But that's a kula in Bein Adam L'Chavera, because his wife maybe wants to be able to spend time with him in a more intimate way. And now he's not going to provide her with that. He has a chivona. It's a kula in his chivona. So is this a chumrah that he's allowed to take? So if Shmuel agrees that Rav is correct la'alacha, and Shmuel is just saying, yeah, but I would be machmir myself, so you learn something from there, that you're allowed to be machmir. But if it's something that Shmuel just disagrees la'alacha, so then we reject Shmuel. And maybe it could be that you're not allowed to be machmir. So this is actually quoted in the Nosi Kelim of the Torah. Beis Yosef writes that the Rif quotes Shmuel, which is unusual, because if it's Krav B'Yisuri, why on earth would you quote Shmuel? So Beis Yosef writes that this indicates that Misha wrote to Lahachmir Alatzmo, Mitas Chasidus Ilo. You want to be Machmir Alatzmo, it's a good thing. Velo Tema de Chasidus Shel Shtusi. Don't think that it's a Chasidus Shel Shtus. Dashkon de Shmuel Lichmir Alatzmo. Because Shmuel was a very religious Jew, and he was Machmir himself about such a thing. And that's why it makes it into Shulchan Aruch also, the Rama writes, based on that Beis Yosef. It's a midas chasidus. A person's allowed to take upon himself this chumrah. It's not considered to be an inappropriate chumrah. You know, getting down to the actual amaslos, right? What is a good amasla? What's not a good amasla? So the Yerushalmi in the second paragraph of Ksubas, which is quoted by the Torah, says that if she says she just didn't have koach for tashmish, right? Meaning, she could say, I'm tired, I'm exhausted, whatever, or she could say, tamei ani, and then it would be like end of conversation. Right? If she says, I'm tired, oh, how tired? You know, like, this is like tamei ani, you know, and he's a religious guy, so that'll be the end of the conversation. So she says she didn't have koach for tashmish. And that's the example that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, right? Shulchan Aruch says, Kegon Shomeris, Shalo Amrlo came Tchila, El Mipnei, Shalo Haya Bakoach, Lispo Tashmish, O Taina Cheres Kiyotzi. But the only actual example given of a Taina Shulchan Aruch is that one. What are the other examples? What are the Taina Cheres Kiyotzi? So the Rambam in the fourth part of Yisuri Biyah says that if she says that, and this is quoted by the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, if she says that his sister or mother was around and she didn't want to be seen, she didn't want to be noticed, so that's also valid amasla. Sometimes a woman is not comfortable having tashmish, even if you have to realize they lived in like one room homes, so the whole house was one room and there were often other people sleeping in that room, so she was not comfortable they can come in at any time, and she wasn't comfortable with that, so she didn't want to be so risky. So that's also a valid amasa. That's a normal thing for a tzenua person to be concerned about. That's a very reasonable thing to be concerned about. And therefore, it could be she came up. Sefer HaTshuma gives a third example. Sefer HaTshuma writes, she says, Svura yisi lios nida. Avlach shabadakti asmi mitzasi shemachmas maka uchabura ba'ilayadad. I taka thought I was a nida. Meaning I wasn't lying. I just normally, and this happens a lot of times, women, before they get their period, before it comes full force, they bleed a little bit. Right? There's a little bit of staining. And they know when they see a little bit of staining that this is, you know, the beginning of their period. So this woman saw that she had a little bit of staining, and then nothing happened. A day later, there was no blood. And then she examines a little more closely, and she sees that she has a maka, she feels that she has a maka. So it's probably just maka of dam. I mean, the dam is probably just from maka. It's dam maka, so it's not dam nida at all. But you told me yesterday you're nida. Yeah, because this is what happens normally when I become a nida. So I really thought I was heading down that path. That's a reasonable amasla, right? All of these things are reasonable. Pischi Chuvin Sivkat Zayin quotes like a fourth type, in the name of Chassam Sofer. It's not really another amasla, but it's because it's not saying that. The example Chassam Sofer gives is not where a woman said Tamani and then she's saying, no, I was just joking, I was really talking the whole time. But let's say a husband comes home from a long trip and she says, while you were gone, I became a Nida. And he says, okay, what's like the schedule? And she says, Tevila night is next Thursday. Right? And I'm slated to go to the mikvah on Thursday. And then, a few hours later, she comes back and she's like, I was just thinking about it. It's not Thursday, it's Wednesday. So let's go to the mikvah Wednesday. So would you say the same thing? Einu nemes? Is that like saying Tamei Ani, now you're saying Torah Ani? So it's not Tamei Ani, Torah Ani. It's Tamei Ani, but it's Tamei Ani, but I can become Tahora more quickly. So in that, that's a whole different ballgame, says the Chassam Sofer. If she changes her claim as to when the Tevila night is, and it's a day or two earlier than she originally said, then she's nemes. Then she's nemanis. Why? Because that's part of the nemanis that a woman has. Meaning, hatorah emina, anu malanu, says Pesach Yitzhuva. Meaning, normally we're concerned that she's nogea be'edos, you know, that there's some slight negia over here. But we don't think that a one-day difference in her tahara process, when it's not bifaneha mamish, is really a negia. Meaning, if today is Monday and she's saying Wednesday instead of Thursday, there's no real Nagia in that. It's not Yitzra Albisha right now. She's not satisfying any Yitzra right now anyway. But maybe if Mom is right in front of her and she were to say, you know what, I go to the mikveh now. I'm going to go right now. Okay, then maybe some sort of say different. Right? But if you're not in the moment anyway, so it's that would not be enough of a Nagia. So again, what have we said so far? So what we've said is that the Ikra Din Gemara says a woman is not allowed to change her mind. If she changes her mind, she's Eina Menes, unless it's B'toch Kedei Dibur. And the Pischei Tshuva added that even if she could have been believed to say Tavalti, and instead she says I was never tamei, we do not believe her. We then went off on a little side discussion about Shavya Nafsha. We then pointed out that the Gemara in Ksuba says he can give an amasla, and we had a discussion whether Shmuel disagrees with that or not. And if he agrees with it, ironically, there's more room to be machmir, right? If he agrees that you're allowed to give an amasla, there's more room to be machmir, because that means that that it's a reasonable chumrah. And then we gave examples of what a good amasla is. Just to finish up amasla for a moment, what's a bad amasla? So the Rambam says, if she says that she was just kidding. However, and this touches on what we were talking about before, the Radvaz writes in the Tshuva Chelik Dalet Simen Reis Amuk Dalet. The Radvaz writes, I'll read you the Lashon. Hilkach benidon didal. Im regila ishazu lios ka'asanis o kaptanis shedark lios nimna'as mi baila mipnei ka'as u katato k'peda ne'menes vim la'vein ne'menes klolad milsa. Here he says, here's the rule. Iker hadavar tali im yesh b'ma'amasla'a ha'arama kefi mash enira l'bayla ha'ragiletzla'a enin ha'menes afilu shetiyah gedola sh'b'amasla'a v'mein shum tzara arama b'amasla'a afilu shamar b'nei kas b'nei ketata ne'menes. But b'al nefesh yiprosh kedavit shmua. So it says that God very, very clearly. Remember we raised the subject of Chavos Das before? Says Rav Das very clearly, the husband has to know his wife. And all of these are guideposts. None of them are actually the halacha. The halacha is that you know your wife, and you know, and sometimes you're married to a woman who has a more volatile personality, and she sometimes says things that she doesn't mean. Sometimes you're married to a woman, that your wife may be a person who misspeaks frequently, and she just says the wrong word, but she really doesn't even mean anything by it. It's just, you know, mouth works faster than the brain or whatever, you know, there are people like that. And sometimes you're married to like the, you know, the most, person who thinks through everything 1,000 times before they say a word and whatever, you know, would never utter a word of sheker or whatever. You have to know. You have to know what your wife's personality is and if what she's saying is reasonable based on who she is. So again, that touches on that idea that according to the Radvaz, it's not, there are no real halachos, there are only guideposts over here. He says, look, if the guideposts would tell you that you're not supposed to believe her, but you know that she's telling the truth, then Bal Nefesh could be Machmir, that's Shmua. That's Bal Nefesh being Machmir. Rafival in Bade, in Bade Ashlochan, just points out that if she's not ne'emenes b'masla'a, let's say you have a case. A woman says to me, next day she comes back to her husband, just kidding, I thought it would be so funny if I would tell you t'me'ani. I see that you don't get my sense of humor, so I might as well tell you right now, really, tahora'an, right? So halacha is ein ne'emenes, or guidepost or whatever, ein ne'emenes. So now she's going to be stuck going to the mikveh. She's going to have to do shiurim and go to the mikveh and everything. But she knows in her heart of hearts, forget about what he knows, she knows that she's tahora. So when she goes to the mikveh, does she say a bracha? She knows she's tahora. What would you time it?
Why does she even need to go to the mikveh then? She could have tell him I went to the mikveh.
Okay. I guess the same question, right? Meaning, is her yediyah going to have an effect on what her halacha is now?
No, she can go to mikveh without making a bracha, so she can still, you know, do that.
So her Feivel says, don't make a bracha, because she knows that she's really tahora. I thought that is not the pashtus. Meaning, but it's totally in this chakira. The same chakira we've been working with all day. Is this halacha, or are these guideposts? Meaning, is there only really one halacha, and the halacha is that if you know that she's tamei, she's tamei, and if you know that she's tahora, she's tahora, and these are just ways to figure it out? Or is the halacha that if she gives this amasa, good, that amasa, no good? And if you say that these are actual halachos, so does she make a bracha when she goes and look after a kesem? But she says a bracha, just like you say a bracha on anything you do for a din d'rabbanan. Say a bracha on Ner Chanuk, you say a bracha on Mikra Megillah. So a kesem is a tumah mid'rabbanan, she would say a bracha. So this would just be another example of a Tumah Midrabbanan. So Rafaival in the Ba'adei seems to understand, again, I think it's because he thinks it's dependent on, you know, on what you really know. The only difference is Rafaival will probably tell you, for her, it would be dependent on what you know, because what you said before, what's knowledge? What do you mean no? The husband can never really know. It's only an assessment of like her, of his knowledge of his wife. And maybe he doesn't know his wife as well as he thinks he does. But she really, really knows. Right? And if she really knows, so that's where Rafaival says, that's a matter of yediyah. But if you assume that all of these are halachas, so there's a din drabanan that she's tamei nida. And therefore you take that din drabanan all the way. Rav Vosner in Os Gimel quotes Tiferes Tzvi, Rav Tzadik HaKohen, because based on the test, that b'kol safek nida efshel levarich. B'kol safek nida efshel levarich. Any safek nida you can say about. No matter what the reason she's going to the mikveh is. Not if she's going to the mikveh stam as some sort of like school or something. Get that shaila also. You got to be prepared. You're going to be rabbis. Someone is going to call you at some point and say, so, I'm in my 9th month of pregnancy, and I'm going to the mikveh. Well, wait a second. Why on earth are you going to the mikveh in your 9th month of pregnancy? Because my friend is having trouble conceiving. And we heard it's a big skula if she goes to the mikveh together with me. She brings a pregnant woman together in the mikveh with her. So, do I have to do a chafifa? Do I say a bracha in the tevila? Right, you're going to get that shayla. That's the shayla is that I always tell people they don't prepare you for in smicha. So now we're changing that. I am preparing you for in smicha. She does not have to do a chafifa. She does not have to say a bracha. She does not have to go to the mikvah. She should be mechazik her friend in multiple other ways. It seems like, so what's pshat in that skula? No. The best guess I have is the Gemara in Bracha says that Rabbi Yochanan used to sit by the Shari Tevila, right? And the Gemara says that when women would see him, right, when they came out of the mikveh, so it had an effect on the Vlad that was conceived that night, because they just saw this beauty of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was an extraordinarily beautiful and morbidly obese with gigantic eyelashes person. You know, exactly how you figure out, you know, what he looked like. But apparently he was an extraordinarily beautiful person. And seeing his beauty had a positive effect on it. So maybe there's some Indian that when you see, the first thing you see on the way out of the mikveh has hashva. So maybe seeing the big pregnant belly right on the way out of the mikveh has some sort of hashva. I don't know. Maybe that's the base of the school, and maybe not. But, you know, these are... Why did I mention this? Oh, yeah, so she's going to the mikvah for that. So she doesn't think she's Tameya. No one thinks she's Tameya. She's not even going because of Tameya. Or if she's going in Erev Yom Kippur, let's say, even though women typically don't do that, you know, then you wouldn't say a bracha, right? But if there's any reason in Hilchas Nida that she's going, the minig is we do say a bracha. Questions, now that we finished that section?
Well, we said with the customer server, what if she has an incentive to change?
Yeah, so l'chora, that would be different. Because if you look, where was that some sort of word I quoted from? Sivkan Zayin? In the Pesach Yeshuvah, Sivkan Zayin? So, yeah, so let's take a quick look. So what is... Yeah, so Ayin Shuvah Sivkan Sofer Al Dvarish Shomer Lebayl B'yom Dalid Yagia Zman Tvila Asa V'ach Zman B'yomo B'yom Shalach Rav Moshe Ta'a Asa B'chezvun B'yom Gimel Yagia Zman Tvila Asa V'arach B'zeh U'masa In biyom hagimel paatzmo amra hayom lel tefilas yutisi etmal yesh lahachnir. Right? I mean, he says, even if it's just that day, we have to be machnir. Al v'lisha tora emina lami kol makom bal nefesh yachush til mi yitzra takfa labila salayla. I mean, even that, even if she just says yitzra hara. Avalimu yomo yomayim kodem lo nefesh b'nos Yisrael al kach. So, it would seem that if there's a reason to think that she, let's say, Thursday night is she didn't realize, but Thursday night is her sister's wedding. So there's no chance. She's not going Thursday night. Right? She's got makeup 4 hours beforehand. It's going to be closed by the time the wedding's over. So what? Then she's going to go Friday night. They live 2.5 hours away from 2.5 miles away from the mikveh, which is walkable, but not pleasant. You know, it's not Siberia, but like it's the middle of the winter, and it's She doesn't want to go Friday night. You find that a lot also, by the way. There are a lot of people who just, if it's Friday night, they'll just have Siktar a day later because they don't want to deal with Friday night. So they'll go Motzei. So this is going to cost her two extra days. So instead, she says, Wednesday now. And she's thinking, my sister's wedding, everyone's going to be touching in the pictures, everyone's getting tighter, the photographer is getting tighter. Photographers like when people are on top of each other, less empty spaces in the picture. And it's going to be so uncomfortable, whatever. So if you have an actual suspicion that, something like that, so then that's real. She has some real reason to be, so it seems like some stuff would not be makel in that case.
Would that also be then, your wife, she's a tzaddikus?
Yeah, I would think so. Again, this all goes back, the whole din of Amas is really one big chakira. Is it a din, or is it, an assessment of what you know to be true? Okay, next topic. Next topic, we're really going a little bit out of order, but Sif Beis. Right, so far we discussed Sif Aleph was about, we've done Sif Aleph and Sif Gimel. Right, Sif Aleph was about a woman saying Tavalti. Does she have to, and is she Na'amenes? Right, Sif Gimel was about a Masla. She already said Tamei, now she's claiming Tav. Right, Sif Beis is, she didn't say anything. She was just Huchsuka Nida. Everyone knew that she was a Nida. Says Shulchan Arachim, Huchsuka Nida B'Shechein Oseh. How is she huchzuka nida? Shira u'a loveshes begadim amyuchadim l'mei nidosa. Everyone saw she was wearing a nida begadim. So chashiva bevadei tmei. She's considered to be tamei. This is based on the Gemara in Ksubas daf in Beis and Kiddushin daf Pei. Amar Rav Yehuda, huchzuka nida b'shechenasa bala loka ala mishum nida. Wow. Meaning, we never heard the woman ever say she was a nida. But she was huchzuka nida b'shechenasa, and then we have Adim that he had violated the halacha of Nida. So it's enough to give Malkus. It's enough to give Malkus. Nida is a chiv kares. So you do Pemezir Basra Chayavi Krisa Shalak or Niftir Mide Krisasan. Right? That's the halacha. The Gemara says Mesech Sanhedrin that if a person is chayav kares and they get Malkus instead, then they're part from the kares. That's the whole maisa that happened 500 years ago with the smicha. When they started giving smicha in Tzfat 500 years ago, and some big people got smicha. The Al-Sheikh, the Beit Yosef, got smicha. Many others. So there was a whole sichsuch back and forth between, what was it, Marie Beirav and Rav Bach, right, and the whether they should be giving smicha. So why did they, what motivated them? So the Rabbanim in Tzfat got together and they voted we should start giving smicha. Not like this kind of smicha, not hetero, smicha. So the Rabbanim in Tzfat decided that we're going to start giving smicha. We don't have Ishmi Piyish to Moshe Rabbeinu, so how do you give smicha without Ishmi Piyish? There's a Rabbam in the parish of Shais in Sanhedrin who says, well, wait a second, we're going to have to build the Beis HaMikdash and we're going to need Sanhedrin to figure all of that out, building a Beis HaMikdash. And that's going to happen before Tchias HaMeisim. So who's going to give the smicha to smicha is a requirement in the Sanhedrin? Who's going to give the smicha to allow us to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is going to happen before Tchias HaMeisim? How's it all going to play out? So at our level, say, I don't know, Hashem will figure it out, right? But but the Rambam is probably going to have to paskin that. I mean, not going to have, but in his lifetime, if it would have happened in his lifetime, he'd be the one paskining it, right? So the Rambam says that there are two ways to get smicha. One is Ishmi Piyish. And the other is if you have all of the Chachmei Yisrael get together and decide to give smicha to a certain person. Well, first of all, then it's Mashiach Zeitin, that if all the Chachmei Yisrael get together and agree on anybody, that's a pretty good indicator that Mashiach is on his way. But if you have all Chachmei Yisrael agree to give someone smicha, then you can have smicha even with a broken chain. So they relied on that. The Rabbanim in Tzfat got together. All of Chachmei Tzfat got together. And they decided to give smicha. This is a fascinating chapter in Jewish history. In Ir HaKodesh HaMikdash, she has a beautiful couple of chapters on this episode in Jewish history. So the Rabbanim Yerushalayim got all upset about this. They all said, "Hits, what's going on? What's going on in Tzfat? They're giving smicha." And Rambam says, "Kol Chachmei Yisrael, hello, we're Chachmei Yisrael too." And the Rabbanan Tzfat said, yeah, 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 but we are greater. And we outnumber you anyway. So we now have taken your vote into consideration and we outvote you. So the Chachmei Yerushalayim said, we know you're greater. We know you're greater. But the Rambam says, kol Chachmei Yisrael. It doesn't say, rov Chachmei Yisrael. And furthermore, even if you think you only need a rov only works when there's a miyut that argues on the rov. But if you don't have a miyut to argue on the rov, then the rov doesn't work. The rov is meaningless. I mean, what happens if you have a Sanhedrin and it's a unanimous vote that the guy is chayv misa, he's off the hook. Because their opinion is not as strong as it would be if there were some pushback. So you can't say after the fact, oh, now we heard your argument. So this was the whole debate back and forth. So what was the motivation? So what was the motivation of it? Anyone know the history? To give Malchus. People wanted Malchus. People who were coming from Spain, they were living in a way, were doing certain averos that they thought that they were chayv kares for. And instead of having to suffer the fate of kares, they wanted Malchus. Can you imagine such a reality? Malchus isn't fun. People come into Beis Din, and they were asking for Malchus, and the Beis Din said, our hands are tied, we can't give you Malchus, we're on smicha. So they reinstituted smicha in order to be able to give people Malchus. So chayv krisus are chayv Malchus, really. So how do we get to this? The Gemara Ksubas, Gemara Kedushin, if a woman is Huchska Nida B'Shechenu Seha, she never told her husband that she's Tvei, she never told anybody she's Tvei, but she will wore Big Day Nidus, the husband will get Malchus for being Boel Anita. Rashi over there writes, it says she wore Big Day Nidus. It's interesting, I noticed in Shiri Shevet Alevi, Rav Vazna thinks that we should still have Big Day Nidus. He says, not for the public to know, but for the husband to know. There should be like a beggar that she wears, that the husband knows that's a symbol that she's in Nida. Rav Vazna writes that way. I don't know. Yeah. So the real reason they need a big thing is to mentality. That's why we don't do it anymore. It seems like an unusual chumah to say that women should have big day needles. I just thought that was weird. No, anyone ever hear such a myth that women wear big day needles? Yeah. Yeah. That's just between the husband and wife, or that what?
I think in public
do it. People know that that's big day needles. Like what? What kind of beggar?
I just found out today from a broken time.
Junior or senior?
Junior.
Really? So interesting.
Oh, sorry, senior.
Senior. Okay. Wow. What? That's so interesting.
Why could it not be like a hecker or something between a husband and wife? Why is that not helpful?
It's helpful, I understand. But to say that it's required, I don't know. Yeah, it's helpful. There should be things that... it should be something that's communicated like immediately. Meaning it shouldn't be like the husband comes home, gives his wife a hug and a kiss, and then she's like, oh, I forgot to tell you. You know, that would be a problem. So it should be something that's communicated immediately, but, you know, there are these things on phones that, you know, you can just type in words. Like, there are ways to communicate in the middle of the day. Okay. The Rashba in Taras Abayi Sa'aruch, I think it's quoted in Beis Yosef, says that if we would give the husband Malchus for it, then obviously she's a Vaday Nida. If you're giving the husband Malchus, it means you believe she's a Vaday Nida, and if she's a Vaday Nida, then no Amasla is going to work on this. This is different than Omeris Tameani. Because Omeris Tameani, she's only also because of Shavya Nafsha. Big Day Nidos is apparently a statement of she's a Vaday Nida. It's not Shavya Nafsha. It's that's a Yediya that she's a Nida. Let's explain a little further. The Tur asks the Kasha. The Tur quotes this from Ramban, this idea that a Masa doesn't work for Huska Nida B'Shechem Seha. And the Tur asks, he says, V'tevelu. Which is stronger, the fact that she pronounced a Big Day Nidus or the fact that she actually said Tameani? I think saying Tameani is a much more clear statement that she's a Nida than wearing Big Day Nidus is a statement that she's a Nida. And yet Tameani she can get out of with an Amasla. How come she can't get out of Big Day Nidus with an Amasla? It's interesting, the Torah quotes this from the Ramban. We don't have it in the Ramban. Not in the Ramban, Silchus Nida, it doesn't appear anywhere. The Shilta Giborim on the Rif in Ksubis quotes it from the Rambam. and we don't have it in the Rambam. But we do have it in the Rashba. Okay, so someone says it, but there was a lot of confusion about it. Who says this, where it comes from, that Amasla doesn't work for Huska Nidav Shkenoseh. So whoever said it, it's one of the big ones. It's a Ramban, it's a Rambam, it's a Rashba, it's somebody. Magen Mishnah is convinced that the Rambam holds this way. So it's somebody who says it. Why, though? So that's the Torah's kasha. So there are three basic answers that I'm aware of to this kasha. And then a fourth possibility as well, but three basic answers to this kasha. First, you have Chavos Das. Chavos Das says that Huchsuka is Tmeya B'Torah's Vada, meaning when she's Huchsuka Nidav Shkenu said we give the husband Malkus to him. So now Masa is not going to work on something that's Vada. Amra Tmeya, like we just said, is only within Shavya Nafsha. So the husband doesn't get Malkus. And an Amasa would work. The way the Chavos Das explains it is that the idea of Huchsuka is similar to Eirecha Nemvi Yisurim. Meaning, let's say an Eirecha tells you, this is Cheva. Let's see, this is Cheva. And then to wait and testify, you ate it. Do we give you Malkus? Yeah. Because what was the Eirecha for? To verify the Mitzvah. Mitzvah is Cheva. So you chayv Malkus. So Huchsuka accomplishes that. And what if the Eirecha were to come back later with an Amasla? Oh no, I only told you it's Chelev because I thought it would be really funny. Or because, I don't know, I thought Chelev really means Shuman and Shuman means Chelev. Or whatever, I don't know. So, no, there's no Amasla. Eirecha Nebisur is Eirecha Nebisur, that's it. So, says Chavos Das, Huchsuka Nidav Shkenu said, is the Yadir Brura, it's like Eirecha Nebisur. Ironically, Amra Tmeya Ani is not Eirecha Nebisur. That's the Shavya Nafsh Chatikh Disu. Right? I mean, that's a little bit challenging. Why would Amr Tzvayani not be Eirech Nem Bisur? It's only Midin Shavya Nafsh Chatikh Disu. Every time a woman becomes a Nida, how do we know she's a Nida? Every time? It's Amr Tzvayani. It's very rare that someone else is going to see that she's a Nida. It's only she that sees it. And yet, so, and we give Malkus, and we would give Malkus on being bold. The only case of bold Nida, you give Malkus if she wears big day Nidus. That's the only case. If she says to Meya and doesn't come back with an Amasa, we wouldn't give Malkus because it's only Shavya and Afsha. Hard to imagine.
This is assuming one side in the Kikira that we discussed earlier, but. I saw in the body of Shulchan in the footnotes, he quotes Rabbi Kiva Eger that says, "Javi nafshech tichalit isura for isurim derabanan." You can get rid of. Whereas in the case of the right, that you wouldn't be able to get rid of it.
Right. Okay.
So then, like, why wouldn't you just always be able to get rid of? Doesn't that also seem to hold that it's not eid echad, meaning that if you could just get rid of it, because this is isur derabanan.
Yeah, meaning you have to give a different teretz as to why a masla works, but that doesn't mean that it's not eirecha nem bisur. There's some other reason why a masla has to work over here. Meaning we need an alternative explanation in
the
chinami.
Other cases that we can accomplish for bold nida, that's eirecha nem bisur, make out of the baal, but for herself, we're talking about herself here, that'd be shavu nashah.
How does the baal know that she's a nida? Eirecha
nem bisur. But for herself, it'd be shavu nashah.
You give her malchus too.
Here is that we're dealing with
her status as Nina, no? I don't see the difference. Meaning, she's the source of all the information for him, for her, for everybody. So
can they show a nasha for someone else?
No.
That's what you hear.
No. It doesn't fit Shavya Nasha then. So maybe we're wrong about Shavya Nasha. So the Taz gives a different answer in the name of Maral. He first quotes it from Moreno Haravra Leib Mi Prague, and then later says Mara. That when Amra Tmeani, she only said it to her husband. Huchska Nida is not Huchska Nida Labaila, it's Huchska Nida Shkina Seha. The whole neighborhood knew about it. So a private conversation, right, of an Amasla could help when the Huchska Nida was only Ali Day a private conversation. But if it was Huchska Nida to the public, a private conversation can't address Huchska Nida to the public. meaning her amasa has to be as strong as the reason that we believe she's an Ida. So if we believe she was an Ida because of a private conversation, good, her amasa could be a private conversation. But if we believe she's an Ida because she was talking to the world, then she can't have a private conversation and do it. It's like you go and you embarrass someone publicly by going on social media and saying awful things about them. And then you say, oh, buddy, sorry about that. You know, like, that's not good enough. The whole world just heard it. So it's going to need to be a more public response. So that's how the Taz quotes the Maharal. This would mean, though, a huge nafkamina. What if she says, Tamei ani b'fnei rabin? She's not embarrassed. She read the tshuva of Ramesha very well about how a woman is not supposed to be embarrassed about Tamei ani. So she walks right into the chasna and says, listen, Mr. Photographer, we're not getting too close to each other because Tamei ani, and the whole family, both sides, everyone hears, everyone's like, wow, that's a little weird, but, you know, so she told it to the world. So it's not about big day needles versus Amra. It's about how many people were her audience. If you look in Torah Sashlamim, in Sifkan Gimel, he says this can't be correct either. In Sifkan Gimel, Torah Sashlamim writes, Nira Delav Dafka Dakat Lebaila. You know, the Shulchan said, Amr Lebaila Tameyani. She told her husband, I'm Tameya. It's not only about Lebaila. Ela Shetiber Bahova, that's normally who she would tell Tameyani to. Shein Biterach Tznius Legalos Tumasa Vitarasa Ela Lebaila. It's not normal to go tell about your tumah and tara to everybody else. V'chein sham b'shastik subis parit beis lo huska l'bayla kla. So, you know, it never says in the Gemara that it's dafka l'bayla. When he goes on seven lines later, v'kol zeh nirli pashut u'delo k'mo shekosav ataz b'shem gadol echad didafka l'bayla kama. Interesting that he calls him gadol echad. Didafka l'bayla kama. That if she were to tell it to other people, even an amasa would not work. Ubehman said, "You know, that's simply not true." Umash Kosov came today. The Yashik Kushus Tmiyos Torah on the Rambam. Aye, but then how else are you going to answer the Torah's Kash on the Rambam, Ramban, Rashba, whoever said it? Kvartiyot Raposkin. Didn't you actually look around Poskin to find better answers? Okay, so far we have the Chavz Das, we have the Taz, and both of them are challenging. Then there's Beis Yosef, which L'chor is what we've asked him. And Beis Yosef quotes that the Rashba himself asked this question and says that she might tell a lie under pressure, but doing an action that is sheker under pressure is an entirely different level. It's one thing to lie under pressure, to say words. It's another thing to do a maisa under pressure. Yeah.
Well, what about the case where she wasn't lying? She just, like, there's a Chasam Sofer case where she made a mistake in the calculation.
So now Masla is. Right, meaning you're saying she's Mitaritz Tibura. She's not saying it was untrue.
Yeah.
Well, no, in that case it was untrue also. So, no, I'm saying that Amasla works in these cases. Amasla works in these cases. Where she's Amra Tmeani, Amasla works, because it's only a lie. It's only words. So we believe her to undo it. So putting on the big day needles, we don't believe her, because we're not going to believe her to change that, because putting on the big day needles is a real statement.
That's what I'm saying. That's a case where it wasn't that she was lying because she was tired or something like that. She genuinely thought she did the miscalculation. She genuinely thought.
Yeah, I'm saying, but that's so that's even better than a regular tamei ani.
Right.
But what we're saying over here, what the Beis Yosef is really doing over here, is the kash of the Torah assumes that there's a kal v'chomer to be made, and the Beis Yosef says, yeah, your kal is chomer and your chomer is kal. Meaning you're trying to say, oh, if she amra tamei ani, we're going to believe in amasa then for sure, when she never even said anything, she just put on some begadim. So Beis Yosef flips it on its head and he says, no, putting on begadim is a much bigger deal than amra tamei ani. Amr Tamei is just words. Putting up a gun is a maisa. Maisa is a much bigger deal. Now, I would have said differently. I would have said different than all of this. I would have said that when she said Tamei Ani, it's her dibur that created the Isser. Sa pesha asur ha pesha hiti. But when she's assumed Tamei based on Huchs Ganidu, it's not wearing the big day needles that creates the Isser. It's the impression that everyone gets that she's Tamei that creates the Isser. It's Huchska Nida B'Shechein Oseha. So her words can't change an issur that was not created by words, an issur that was created by the assumption of the masses. Meaning, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when she says Tamayani, Tamayani is words. So then she can change that. She can say, oh, no, it was because of this, that, or the other thing. But it looks like it's not even putting on the begotten that does it. It's the fact, if she were to put on those begotten in private, she just wants to see how big they need those looks on her when she's not bloated or whatever. Right? See, oh, does it look pretty normally? Oh, whatever. She just wants to try it out. She's playing around. And no one sees. So it doesn't make her Tamayani. It's only the hooks that Nidim Shkenu says, the fact that that people have developed the impression that she's Tamei, that's what creates the issue. So words aren't going to address that issue, as I would have thought. But, you know, we're not going to have time probably to get into it so much right now. But I want to get into the Space Yosef's answer in much, much greater detail. But first, a couple of questions.
Why do other people's impressions of her create halacha?
Yeah, because we're really stuck when it comes to Nida Sadeh. How else are we going to know? Meaning there's her saying it, and then, you know, or her communicating it in some other way. So, like, what else would do it? Like, there's no other way to measure it.
Other people think she's a Nida, that she becomes a Nida?
Yeah. It seems that way.
What if she put on regular clothing and walked outside? And then everyone knows she wasn't a
Nida. After, no, that's exactly the point. After she's, oh, meaning you're saying then that should address.
Yeah, and then she has a chazaka that she's daughter.
I don't think we ever find wearing regular clothing does anything, though. I mean, that's not a that's certainly not a
thing. She's no longer wearing her Nida.
No, because it doesn't change people's impressions. If yesterday you were a Nida, why aren't you a Nida now? Right? Meaning it's like, oh, you know, you must have lost your big day needs or something. But if yesterday you were needy, you should be in need of now. I just want to let you know, I do plan on getting into this in much, much more detail, but Ezra Hashem, I guess on Wednesday. The key marmakomas to see are the Shach and Sivkat and Hay, the Taz and Sivkat and Beis, the Shach and Lekudas HaKesef. And I would also recommend, if you have an opportunity, take a look. Rav Salvechik and Shiri Arav on Yoredeya and Simin Yud Beis talks about Amasa a little bit, and you know, and that will end our discussion on Amasa. Then we'll still have two more topics to discuss: when it's her word against the rabbi's word, right? And interesting discussion to think about: what's the lumdus of the rabbi being believed over her, right? When you learn through that halacha, why is the rabbi believed over her? And nafkamina would be, is a mikvah lady believed over her? Is a yoetzet believed over her? Right, is it a didn't getting smicha? Well, what is it? Where does it come from that a rabbi would be believed over her? And the final thing is the unfortunate crazy case of a woman who becomes a nida in middle of Tashmish. So that's going to be the plan for. But try to take a look at those marmakomos. I thought we might be able to finish this today, but we're not even close. So that's on Wednesday. We'll try to finish up Kuf Pei Hei, and then maybe on Thursday we'll begin Kuf Pei Vav. Have a great day.
According to the Beit Yosef and the thing trying to resolve the difficulty, what if a woman, like, wears her big day nida? She goes outside, and all of a sudden she realizes, oh my god, I just put on my big day nida. I didn't even realize it.
So she
goes
to Jewish. She created that
right. According to your Mahala, she also, because she already created the public. But according to the Beit Yosef's idea that there's a higher level of deception if she's willing to do an action.
She's doing the maisa. She's saying, I didn't do a maisa. Yeah. That was just out of space.
I was in the funk, yeah.
Yeah.